When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
What habada you?
What habada is?
Ibida habada.
Ibida habada.
Ibida habada.
They always say that if the Weather Channel is in your town, it's not a good thing.
No.
And the reason I bring this up is because the Weather Channel is in Pete Bilotti's town right now.
Really?
Long Beach, New York.
Uh-oh.
They're reporting live from Long Beach, Pete. That's where you live. This is because of Hurricane Jose that is stirring up the Atlantic Ocean and could cause some major issues with the surf around Long Island. So,
come on, Jose. Quit tripping.
Are you far enough away from the water, Pete, where you're not going to have issues or what?
Well, we're right on the boardwalk.
Ooh.
But
damn.
We are like on the sixth floor.
All right, that's good. All
so
right.
That's not an issue. I saw some erosion last night.
Yeah.
So I don't know what is going to happen today. But
will you take in refugees that are on the first and second floor of your place? Will you welcome them into your sixth floor abode?
If we like them, yes.
Okay.
If we like them.
And if you don't, you're going to let them drown.
No, I'm just going to tell them to go to the third floor.
Okay. All right. Very good. So that's not polite. A good thing.
If we like them, yeah. Come on in.
It's not funny, man.
You drowning.
All this stuff is not funny.
I know. All these damn storms. They just show the globe and you got storms all over the dang place.
Yeah, and this Maria doesn't look like she's,
oh, she's tripping
got
too.
Anything good.
Come
in
on.
Mind.
About to whack the DR again?
Yeah.
Damn.
And then it's turning up here.
Ugh.
Up the East Coast. Hopefully what it stays the off into the ocean. Man. But who the hell knows?
Who knows? Storms, man. Come on. This ain't right.
Yeah.
Jose, now we're just supposed to get winds?
Yeah, some
winds.
Rain by me. I mean,
or
I don't
just wind?
Because I'm very, very short-sighted with these things. I only concern myself with how it's going to affect where I live.
Of course.
So
be selfish, dude.
Yeah, I think it's going to rain a lot near me. I don't think it's going to rain as much near you, but it's going to rain like 2 to 3 inches near me.
Okay.
Throughout the day.
Good.
Today. Good.
Sucks for you. Good for me.
2 to 3 inches isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, considering what was it like 50 inches? For
I don't
Hurricane
want any.
Harvey?
I don't want any inches. None.
Okay. I'm with you, but sometimes
zilch.
Sometimes you got to take it.
Just wash the car. I don't want any rain.
So everybody's getting on Ezekiel Elliott for not trying on interceptions, trying to make tackles after interceptions in the game against the Broncos. And, you know, I knew this was a thing yesterday, and I didn't really think too much about it because, quite frankly, you know, in a game that's was out of hand at that point, it wasn't as big of a deal to me, especially when the guy is as important to that team as he is. I can understand how it looks terrible, but if you're really thinking about the situation, who he is,
mm-hmm.
where he is in the play, I don't think that it is that big of a deal. What I do think is, you know, there was a little bit of sulking going on there,
right.
Which is an issue. I mean, yeah. It doesn't seem like he's got a lot of good coping mechanisms when it comes to dealing with adversity on the football field because he hasn't seen a lot of adversity on the football field. We all know about the issues he's been dealing with off. But on the football field, he's used to winning. So that would be a bigger overall issue for me. As far as not giving a lot of effort or any effort at all in those interceptions, big deal to me personally. But I'd love to hear your take on it because if you're out on the field and one of your guys isn't trying on a particular play, I mean, does that really, really tick you off?
That's the point that everyone's trying to make here. And is this an overreach? Are we overreacting? No, but to those guys in that locker room, you want to endear yourself to them. And we talk about this all the time, whether it's a quarterback, it's a new player at a particular position, it's a rookie. Someone comes in there, and you want to do all you can to make sure everyone in there knows that you have their back, and they have your back if you're able to do that. So any chance you get to show effort, any chance you get to help a teammate out, and especially when things aren't going your way, that goes a long way in endearing yourself to your teammates. So that's all I'm saying. That's all anyone is saying. You have to show hustle all the damn time when things are going great and when things are dismal like they were Sunday for the Cowboys, especially when you're one of the best players on the team. You set an example. And that was a bad example he set the other day. He just looked like a guy who was sulking, who was very upset that he hadn't been able to generate any offense. That happens from time to time. But you have to somehow get out of your doldrums and continue to fight. Even if you know it's a fait accompli, this thing is done. Probably not going to win this one. Probably not going to get that 100 yards. Probably not even going to get 10 yards. And I don't believe he did. So, but you still have to find a way to continue to show your teammates, show that coaching staff, show your fans that I don't quit. I'm going to continue to go out here and ram my head up in there and that offensive line, try to get some yards. If there's something that happens where there's an interception, I'm going to bust my butt to try to make a tackle. That's all you want. Even if you're not trying hard, at least appear, you want it to appear like you are. So that's the key. And you know, someone who's been on a 1-15 team, 3-13 team, it's difficult to go to work each and every week, but you have to do it.
Let's listen to Jason Garrett talk about this issue with Ezekiel Elliott.
One of the things that we preach to our team on both sides of the ball, when there's a turnover, everybody's involved. If you're an offensive player, you become a defensive player on a fumble or an interception. And, you know, Zeke is one of the most natural competitors I've ever been around. He loves to play. He loves to practice. And I think we've seen that through his first year playing. And those two plays were not indicative of the kind of competitor that he was. And we have to get that addressed.
I'm a big believer that on those interceptions, I mean, I guess if it's the difference between a win and a loss, you have to do whatever you can. But with a quarterback, sometimes just get out of the way, especially your franchise quarterback. It really depends on the situation. But I would say 8 times or 9 times out of 10, I don't want the quarterback going after a guy and hurting himself. Is it that much different, though, when it's your star running back that's one of the best in football?
Yes. There's a big difference. And the quarterback normally is not the athlete that the running back is, and he's just in the way. And sometimes they just try to get in the way, and maybe we can slow the defender down who just picked me off or who scooped up a fumble. It's same for kickers. Who was that one kicker that go down and hit people? Was it Butler back in the day for the Chicago Bears? He go down and try to lay some wood on the kickoff return team. But this is not about a guy possibly getting hurt. You played and guys have had thrown interceptions before, and you've tried to keep them from scoring. It could be a game-saving situation where it's a fumble or it's an interception, and you want all hands on deck to try to stop the ball carrier who's now on the defensive side of the ball. So this is not about injury. This is about helping your team out. You got offensive linemen. They're not that damn athletic, but they're out there trying to tackle the guy. What if your big left tackle, Tyson Smith, goes down? Then who's going to block for you, Ezekiel Elliott? So you want everybody involved, maybe not your quarterback so much, but definitely everyone else.
Yeah, and I think that when I hear LaDainian Tomlinson, he went off on Ezekiel Elliott. When I hear that and I hear what you say, yeah, I mean, it does change my mind on it a little bit. I just know as a fan watching the game, if I was a Cowboys fan or if I was someone who had stock in Ezekiel Elliott on some sort of fantasy team, I wouldn't necessarily want him to be going after guys after interceptions in games that are sort of blowouts. But if it's going to have an impact on a team and you look around and you're trying your hardest and you look to one of your star players who's not, and that's going to cause problems, especially in the drama-filled world of the Dallas Cowboys where every single week it's another story about something, then yeah, that's certainly an issue. And I do believe that that's probably going to be the last of that you're going
to
see.
Right, and what's the recourse for Jason Garrett? Nothing but a talking to, that's it. And he shouldn't have to give this talk. It should be veterans in that locker room. They should be talking. It should be someone like Jason Witten. It shouldn't be Jason Garrett. This is not his place to do this. Those guys who've been there for a while, who played in this league for a while, they should pull him aside. I mean, you can't do that again. That's a bad look. And we don't expect you to go down there and put a form tackle on the guy who just intercepted our quarterback. But we at least want to see you in the picture frame.
Yeah, and it probably resonates more from his teammates.
Right. I mean, it should sting more from his teammates. And you should feel bad and you should feel poorly because you let your guys down. You didn't give effort. He did nothing. He looked. He looked towards where the ball came. It was 25, I believe, on this particular interception. I forget his name. Harris. It was Cliff Harris.
Right. And Tlaib was the other one. Right.
And he looked in that direction, and that was it. It was like, woe is me. You can't play like that, man. Come on.
Yeah. And
get on your horse.
I think in any business, your peers telling you something is always going to hit home more. At least that's the way I always felt. I mean, of course, the people who are in charge, you have to have communication with them and listen to what they want. You can't be in subordination all the time. But there's times where you say, okay, I'll do that because you're the boss and I have to listen to it. But I don't agree with it. I'm just doing it because I want to keep a job or I want to keep you happy. Whereas when it's your peers, it's like, man. Yeah, that's what they think of me. That's not good. That sucks.
You don't want to let your boys down. You're in that foxhole essentially with them each and every weekend, and they have to know that they can count on you, and you have to know that you can count on them. And any little rift could cause a huger fissure in that locker room.
Wow.
Yes.
Fissure.
Yeah, that one too.
Man, isn't that... Sometimes I'm not even going to bring that up.
What?
No, the fissure thing.
What about it?
Is that's usually that can happen with a certain body part or? I'll tell you in the break. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's not good.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just going to go with the nuclear version. You know.
Oh, okay.
Fissure, but okay.
Oh, different. All right. Yeah. There's different meanings. Maybe different words we're talking about. Well, we'll discuss in the break. And in the meantime.
You are something.
Well, that's what I thought of. I'm just saying, right. That's what I thought of. So I don't know what any of this means, and we're not going to put on Amy Dash today because it doesn't seem like we need her just yet. But the judge denied the NFL's emergency stay request in the Ezekiel Elliott case, meaning he can still play. So we'll break that down. He's still playing.
Right.
He's not suspended. He still could be suspended this year. More likely it's going to happen next year. But he'll probably still end up being suspended because the NFL always gets their way.
Yeah.
Legal correspondent.
Eventually, right, down the road.
Yeah. Just always seems to work out that way. I could be a legal correspondent, right?
You think?
What does this mean? It means he's playing.
Yeah.
All right?
Simple as that.
Right.
Can you put it in layman's term? We don't need the legalese.
Auburn backup quarterback is no longer the Auburn backup quarterback. Sean White was arrested for public intoxication and then dismissed from the team. It was early Sunday morning, and he was arrested at 2:45 a.m.
Mm.
So you really have to be messed up to get arrested for public intoxication, I think.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can only speak from my own experience. I think when you're just drunk and someone tells you, like, all right, you know, go home, get home safely, but then you're like, not listening and being loud and probably complaining to a police officer or being disrespectful. You really, like, I don't think you just walk around drunk and get arrested, you know? Or, like, maybe stumble or, like, look kind of glassy-eyed and get arrested. You got to really do something while you're drunk to get that public intoxication. That's just from my thoughts, but maybe there's police officers out there who are just arresting drunk people for the hell of it. I don't know.
Maybe that's how they roll there in Auburn, Alabama, right? And this is not his first misstep. Remember, he was suspended the first ball game of the season because of some things that happened. He and a couple other players there at Auburn. So he has been in the doghouse for a while now, and this now is the last straw for Gus Malzahn. And hopefully the young man will get help. If he wants to resume his football career, maybe someone will give him a shot. But I would agree with you. You really, especially in a college town,
yeah,
where they see this all the time, you really have to have gone and done something completely idiotic for them, the authorities, to arrest you.
It's something I think is very interesting, but it's too deep for us at this point to discuss. But you know, when someone's young, like how early is it? Or how early should you get help if you're binge drinking like these college students do?
Oof.
Like, see if I can put this in better terms. Like, if I see somebody who's getting drunk every night in college at 21 years old, I don't think that that person's an alcoholic. I think that that person is a college student. That's just my thought. I'm like, okay, this person's a college student.
Every night?
And living their life. Well...
Every night?
Well, drinking a lot. Let's put it that way. Maybe not every night, maybe. That's a big extreme.
Yeah.
But someone who's out every weekend, maybe has a drink during the week. But I see someone at 40 years old, I'm like, this person's a mess. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if we take young alcoholism as seriously as we should, as opposed to just chalking it up to this is a young, stupid kid who's going to figure it out.
If it's someone just doing it during the weekends, like we all did when we were in college, and if it's someone who doesn't handle it well, even at that young age, and are always in trouble as a college student, that should be a red flag. Maybe alcohol and I don't mix.
Yeah, I just never thought, like... seeing all these partiers and stuff, when you're that age, it's like someone's funny, you know, unless they're getting in fights and getting arrested, whatever. If someone's just drinking like crazy, it's just like, oh, man, he just drinks like crazy, and he's a college kid.
Right, you know, I understand that, but then if you're getting in trouble during those weekend stints,
yeah,
that should signal something for you.
Yeah.
Maybe alcohol and I are not, we shouldn't be together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We shouldn't.
Now, I had a teammate at Texas, and I don't know how the hell he graduated, but it seemed like every day, every morning, there was a case, an empty case of Coors Light outside the door.
Case?
Waiting to be put in the trash can.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he had one every night. But he graduated. He's doing fine.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess Coors Light is basically water to him.
Yeah,
some
I guess
people
so.
Have a different makeup.
Different tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Mary's in Boise, Idaho on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mary.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, Mary. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. It's early.
Yeah.
But I have a question for Brian, and it relates to this whole thing about Ben McAdoo publicly scolding Eli Manning and also the idea of having your teammates back. And I'm a Packers fan because I grew up in Wisconsin, but I'm wondering... how do players feel when another player publicly rips into them the way Aaron Rodgers did into his center Sunday night when the guy snapped the football early? Do they resent that? Do they say, oh, he's Aaron Rodgers, I need to respect him, and I'm ashamed that he had to call me out, I need to do my job better? Does it foster resentment and division on the team? How do players feel about that?
It can foster division on the team, and it can fracture that relationship between center and quarterback, one that you want to have a pretty cozy relationship with if you're the center and the quarterback, because you guys are you're together all the time, hands and butt, always together. So that depends on their personal relationship and how they have gone about their business in the past. You know, maybe you can handle it coming from a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and maybe the way he heard it is differently in the manner in which we received that message. So it just depends on that personal relationship between those two. But ordinarily, you don't want a teammate calling out another teammate. In some instances, it's warranted, and it should happen. You're trying to send a signal to your homeboy. Listen, you know, I hate to do this in the press, but I think it's necessary considering what's been going on here. But if you have a good relationship, and sometimes even if you're having a good relationship and something like that happens, you could be upset with each other, but you can get past it, and you can talk your way through that particular situation.
Yeah, I think it depends on where it's coming from, the person, and how much respect you have for that person, and also what the motivation is behind the comments. Like if Aaron Rodgers is upset at the guy because he wants to win and he's really passionate about that, mm-hmm. and he yells in that situation because that's his motivation, then of course you can understand it. If he's yelling at the guy just because Aaron Rodgers is in a bad mood and he's taking it out on someone
right.
who's who didn't do anything wrong, that's a different story. But yeah, and if it's a rookie who comes into the league and tells his center to go blank in a hat, that's a lot different than a guy who's won a Super Bowl and is regarded as one of the best quarterbacks
in the league. Exactly.
All right.
Yep.
Coming up next, one of the most bizarre stories you will hear all week, and we're going to dust off some of our favorite audio for a guest that we have coming up in 20 minutes, the great Takiyo Spikes. Coming right back.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
No, Kevin in Youngstown.
This is Le Voice.
Yes, Kevin in Youngstown's with us on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
What's up? Yeah. I'll be brief.
Be brief, dude.
Take as much time as you want. You'll be our last caller today.
Yeah, when you came in here, you were crying.
We're going to agree to disagree.
Okay.
But I was listening to what you said about Ezekiel Elliott and the fumble. Right now, the way Cleveland sports is went in our bad luck, if the Indians got in a bench-clearing brawl, Corey Kluber, Carrasco, and our closer Andrew Miller, I don't even want them to watch it, let alone join it. So, don't have my back. We got it. So I disagree with you on that.
Well, there's certain people, you stay out of this. We got this. You're right. But you can, how about just jog in the general vicinity of where the guy who just intercepted the rock or recovered the fumble? About that?
You know what it reminds me of, Kevin? And I like when an outfielder doesn't turn around when a guy hits a home run, right? Like at least jog back to the wall and look up as opposed to just standing there and watch the thing fly into the upper deck, right? Is that sort of a type of analogy you could use?
No, because you can listen to a home run. Some of them you can hear it.
Yeah, true, yeah. You know that was gone. Forget about it. Don't even look back.
Can I give you one more and I'll hang up?
Yeah.
You know that Major League – I went to the game Saturday, Indians and the Royals. That Major League umpire that said he was being discriminated against.
Angel Hernandez.
America. Yes.
Yeah, nah, he ain't got no case. He's a home plate umpire. No, you just a bad umpire. That's why.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point, Kevin, it's great hearing from you, and call again soon. It's gotten to the point where I have not heard a positive thing about Angel Hernandez from anybody.
The best was the guy said the strike zone is countersuing you. I mean, come on. He's horrible.
Yeah.
Atrocious.
I mean, Joe Torre's actually come out and said how bad of an umpire he is. And fans know
so
it.
How does he still have a job?
It's a union, I guess.
If you're that bad.
I don't know.
Wow.
It's a fair question. All right, Bogus. What's going on,
you
man?
Sure? You're good
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Bogus. Look at this
muscles?
Cat. Yes.
What are you doing? You're not doing CrossFit.
Not CrossFit.
He just won't call it that. Yeah, but damn, boy, keep it up.
You're lifted, doing the weight lifting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Looking sharp,
all
man.
Right.
Man,
those 15-pound dumbbells, they go fast.
Mama likes it, huh?
She does, actually.
Yeah.
She's a fan.
What about your wife?
Lukewarm. Yeah, it's definitely our fault, like always. So only 122 yards in the air for Matthew Stafford on Monday Night Football, but that was enough to get Detroit in the end zone when necessary against the Giants.
Play clock at 5. Matthew leans in. He's got it. Back to pass. Matthew, pressure comes. Rolls right. Sets, throws. End zone. Got a man caught. Eric Ebron. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, Matthew made that happen with his feet. The pressure came. He stayed alive. It got the Lions 6.
Dan Miller on Lions Radio. Second touchdown pass of the night from Stafford at followed an Eli Manning pick, which negated a Stafford fumble. The Lions never trailed again. Jamal Agnew threw the knockout punch in the fourth, an 88-yard punt return score. The Detroit defense sacked Manning 5 times in the 24-10 final. Odell Beckham Jr. and his injured left ankle made their season debut. 4 catches for 36 yards. Beckham not yet fully healed.
I feel all right. You know, I don't really know a percentage. Still just that last little bit of the game, but it'll come from, you know, another long week of rehab and all of those things.
The Giants play in Philly on Sunday. As expected, the Texas judge that lifted Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game domestic violence suspension denied the NFL's request to unlift it. So the league now turns to the Fifth Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals. It asked that court to reinstate Elliott's suspension by 11 a.m. Eastern this morning or by next Tuesday at the latest. Clayton Kershaw had never allowed a grand slam and hadn't allowed a run to the Phillies in 32 innings. And then Aaron Altair stepped to the plate in the sixth last night.
Here's the pitch.
Swung on, hit high, oh. Hit deep, way back to left, and that ball is gone! Grand slam into the scoreboard porch in left. Aaron Altair has turned the game around.
That's Scott Fransky on Phillies Radio. Kershaw and the Dodgers losing in Philly 4-3. Kershaw had given up just 5 extra base hits the first 103 times he faced the bases loaded. The Brewers, a 3-0 win in Pittsburgh to climb within 2 games of the Rockies for the second NL wild card, and 3.5 games of the Cubs atop the Central. Colorado and Chicago were off last night. The Red Sox rallied for a 10-8 win in 11 in Baltimore. The O's led 5-0 and 6-1. And the Yankees held off the Twins 2-1 in a possible preview of the AL wildcard game. Aroldis Chapman's 5-out save included leaving the bases loaded in the 8th. And maybe this matters to someone out there. Adidas has passed Jordan Brand as the number 2 sneaker company in the U.S.
Wow.
Based on market share by dollars. Adidas went from 6.6% of the market to 11.3% over the last year, while Jordan Brand stayed steady in the mid-9s.
Wow, that's huge.
Boys.
It's huge in sneaker
talk.
Yeah. There's a jogger in Colorado Springs who's pooping on people's lawns.
Come wearing
on,
Adidas.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's why this is skyrocketing.
That's how they were able to track him, right?
Yeah, and this is not the first time I've heard about this thing. There was a woman who ran around Pittsburgh who, in an affluent neighborhood, that would poop on people's lawns there, too. And they actually had the same nickname for her, but instead of Pooper, it was her nickname is the Mad Pooper, this one in Colorado Springs, and they used to call her the Mad Esser.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that this is the second time I've heard about this. Well, she jogs a lot, she runs a lot, and she's been pooping on someone's lawn in front of their house for a couple weeks now, and she's not stopped.
What?
Yeah.
And they haven't caught her.
Right. They haven't caught the woman.
What is wrong with the world?
There's actually, I just found a news report. Maybe we could pull for later in the show. Don't worry about it now.
We need to get our boy down to Houston to report on this.
It's up on taking big-ass poops on the big-ass lawn.
Rich-ass people lawn.
It's up on Deadspin if you want to go and pull that. Maybe we can play. It's a CBS affiliate, too, so I'm sure we're allowed to play.
She must be going pretty early in the morning to do this.
Right.
Wow.
What are your neighbors going to say, all these rich-ass people?
Yeah, well, you're pooping on the lawn. What are they going
to
say?
Did he ever get back to you, Mikey B? No? All right.
So we'll play that news report for you later, but it's crazy. We've got Takiyo Spikes joining us in a couple of minutes. And the last time we have this audio. I'm assuming we have this audio. So the last time we had him on, while I was previewing the interview, I talked about how he's got the biggest neck I've ever seen on a man. So we went and had a discussion about how large his neck was. And then we went back and bleeped neck and wanted to see how it sounded. We played it for Takiyo. It was like the most I've ever seen a man laugh, I think, in my life. We played it for him. But just as a preview for this interview now, here's the bleeped version of us talking about Takiyo's neck. I vowed to have this be my first question. Is your still as big as it was during your playing career? Because you had the most impressive I've ever seen on a human.
Well, no, it isn't.
Oh, man.
Now, what I will tell you, though, it's still bigger than yours.
Of course it is.
You can't be filled out everywhere else if you don't have the foundation of the
Okay.
Did you have the biggest that of any of your teammates or anybody that you ever played against?
No. I'm going to tell you who gave me a run for my money now. LeVar Arrington.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, LeVar had a big
neck.
One.
Yeah,
yeah, he had a tree trunk, too.
That's my favorite part. Is you going, yep, LeVar had a big one. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
Where did the ears begin and the shoulders? Yeah, I mean, come on.
He had a tree trunk, too.
Yep.
That was us talking about his neck, by the way. All right, he's going to join us next to talk some NFL football to Takiyo Spikes. We're coming right back.
This is 15-year NFL veteran Takiyo Spikes, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Joining us right now.
Is he here?
15-year NFL veteran.
Big Nick!
Also author of Behind the Mask. We had him in studio promoting that wonderful book about NFL linebackers who played for a long time.
And his big neck.
In the league. And his giant neck that's not as big as it used to be, but still bigger than ours. Takiyo Spikes, good morning. What's happening?
Top of the morning, fellas. How's everything up in the Big Apple?
Everything's good, my man. Namaste.
Namaste. So, I tell you what, though. I know you guys have had a lot to talk about today since that watching that game last night.
Yeah,
huh?
Definitely. And the Giants are in a whole world of hurt. When you saw that offense yesterday against or last night against the Detroit Lions, were you thinking it was more about the Giants' offense and their inability to execute, or more about what the Detroit Lions were doing defensively to thwart the Giants' efforts?
I don't want to take anything away from the Detroit Lions. Their defense, I thought they played very good defense, very good. But at the same time, if you look at the history of what has happened a week prior, you got to put a lot of blame on the Giants' offense. Very lethargic play. It seems as if they never even came out of the locker room. You know, I didn't feel – you know, when you watch Monday Night Football, it charges you up. You get some type of feeling to where you, at least you wish when you're looking at that game on TV, you would like to think that, I mean, these guys understand they're on prime time, and this may be the first time that people get a chance to really see the Giants or the Detroit Lions play. What type of impression do I want to leave in their mind after this game is over? The Giants didn't do that. They didn't do a good job of that going all the way back. I tell you what was disappointing was, you know, the Giants never really have had a true running game, but I think they really need to develop one soon. Anytime you go into a game, primetime action, and you're only averaging 3.4 yards a carry, that's collectively, that's bad. So therefore, it's putting so much pressure on Eli. And Eli didn't, I mean, the obvious, Eli didn't look like the Eli that a lot of people want to see. I know Eric Flowers didn't play well at all last night, and I truly believe that made Eli kind of gun-shy. He was shell-shocked. I remember one time he felt like somebody was coming behind him, and he just kind of crumbled to the ground. You know, and so, you know, when I see things like this, it's very hard. It's very hard to give certain guys the benefit of the doubt. Very disappointing if you're a New York Giants fan this morning.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Takiyo, when you see Ben McAdoo calling out his quarterback, you had a delay of game there in the red zone. You've been in those locker rooms. You know, everyone is treated differently. Certain guys you can poke in a certain manner. Others you go about a different tack. Were you surprised that McAdoo called out a two-time Super Bowl champion?
Oh, huge. Very surprised. You never usually see that, Jones. Mm-hmm. And you know that. And I was very surprised. Not only did he do it one time, he did it several times. Mm-hmm. And for me, looking behind the lines, I know everybody is frustrated, but it's too early in the season for that type of behavior, in my opinion, to go on. It's only week two. So for me, it pretty much tells me that these conversations have already been had, maybe at the end of last year, maybe within the first 2 weeks of this year. He's had these conversations. I guarantee you him and Eli have talked. Mm-hmm. And so for him to come out and to keep reiterating, hey, you know, bad quarterback play, I mean, that was shocking. And what I worry about, and what I truly, truly worry about, is when you have coaches who usually do that, not only is Eli listening, but the entire team is listening. And so, one, some guys react better to being called out if you are that type of coach who does it consistently all the time. But the problem is if you're not that coach who does it all the time, or at least if you don't do it in front of the team, now guys will look at you and be like, who is this guy? Is he playing double agent?
Yeah.
He's trying to save himself? You know, so I think that's what it's going to boil down to. Who is Ben McAdoo on a consistent level every day with these guys in order for him to call out Eli and that nature? Because at the end of the day, as you guys know, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. We see what's going on. So as a coach, I really don't think that you really have to get on TV or anything and just blast your star player like that.
Gio and Jones with Takiyo Spikes across the country on CBS Sports Radio. This Lawrence Timmons story is sad, and I hope that it has a happier ending, but he disappears. The Dolphins don't know where he is. He ends up at LAX trying to get back to Pennsylvania. When you see a guy who plays a position, plays as well as he had for a long time, a lot of big hits, and you hear a story about him, you know, leaving the team like that, someone who loves football as much as Lawrence Timmons does, what's some of the things that you think about when you hear that story?
I just think family. I think, you know, I thought it was a family issue in the beginning. And when I heard about, I haven't been caught up to date as far as what's been going on recently within the past 12 hours or so. But when I heard that he was coming from LAX, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, Lawrence Timmons, I don't think he's from the West Coast. So for me, I don't understand it. I don't know what he's going through, but I just hope someone is able to get to him, or the guys who usually consistently talk to him all the time, I hope they're able to talk to him just to make sure he's okay. Because I've never heard of that. I played the game for a long time. I've been watching the game for even longer. And I've never heard of guys just completely just go AWOL on game day.
That is so true. Let me ask you about Ezekiel Elliott. We've been debating whether or not he should go full board after a defender who was intercepted or scooped a fumble and is attempting to return it. I say he should at least be in the picture frame, if not going out and trying to form tackle the guy. What say you?
No, it's only one person on the football field. If your quarterback throws an interception, it's only one person on that offensive side that probably shouldn't be chasing. Or at least chasing, just look like he's trying to get there, but no, he can't get there, and that's the quarterback. If you're Ezekiel Elliott, you got to give me more effort than that. You have to. I mean, you just have to. And I truly believe, I know LT made his comments, LaDainian Tomlinson said that, he quit. Just his effort, his body motions on the sideline, he totally disagreed with that. And I get what LT is saying, but I'm going to take it a step further. Primetime said it, you know, maybe the cloud that's over his head, what he's going through, just knowing that he has to sit back and wait because his fate is in somebody else's hand, dealing with, you know, the litigation from the NFL as far as these guys, they want to suspend him. So I know it's a lot. I can only imagine it's a lot. But at the end of the day, as a professional, if you're allowed to play, I know I went through a lot. And my father, he passed when I was playing, and I knew several months because he was diagnosed with brain cancer that he was going to go. It was just a matter of time. But I bring that point up just to remind, well, not just to remind, but just to kind of paint a picture to everybody. When I walked away from the field and had to deal with that, it tore me down. It was a lot on my shoulders. But when I stepped in between the lines on the field, it gave me a chance to not necessarily think about it at the time, but it really gave me a chance to black out everything just for a short period of time. And even though I know Ezekiel is going through what he's going through, when you're on that football field, that's your safe haven at the moment. And so this is your chance to be able to release a lot of frustrations. This is your chance to be able to stay tunnel vision and stay locked in and get done what needs to get done. And so for him to display that type of effort, that's totally unacceptable.
Geo and Jones with Takeo Spikes. I mean, do you really think, though, that all that stuff's going through his mind when he makes a decision not to give any effort on that play? Or is it just a guy who is not used to losing, someone who's not used to having eight carries and 9 yards or vice versa, whatever the hell it was, and someone who's acting like a baby about it as opposed to, you know, maybe all this stuff that's weighing on him off the field?
No, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I don't want to get it twisted and want to sound like, oh, the reason why he did that or he just gave bad effort is because he's going through this. Hey, at the end of the day, Gio and Jones, everybody is going through something. Everybody. So my point is, I'm saying is that at some point, we've all been used to winning. But when you get hit in the mouth consistently, you got to step up to the plate. Yeah. And say, I'm going to keep battling just to show you, you can't break my will. You can't make me quit because it's not in my DNA. And now, unfortunate for him, he's opened up a whole box of Pandora, whatever you want to call it, because every team that feels like, you know what, now the blueprint is open. Now I see who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am going to pull your card every time, and I'm going to make you fight. I'm going to make you quit. You know what? So, and that's the problem. So not only do you have to worry about getting every defensive team best effort, but now it's going to become personal because guys know I can affect your soul just by continuing to hit you in the mouth.
Affect his soul. Get all up in that thing,
Box
Gio. Real quick, let me ask you about Vontaze Burfict. Can this guy get right?
I will say this. I saw the last hit. And I truly believe his reputation now is preceding him before he gets through the door.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my message to Vontaze is, Vontaze, hey, let's take a trip up to New York. Show me what you're seeing on this tape and let me explain to you how I see it on the field. And let's come to a common ground just so I can show you that I'm not trying to bulk the system. I'm trying to work with you because a lot of the money you're taking my retirement money.
Yeah.
So I don't want you taking my money like that. So I think he needs to be a little proactive. But at the end of the day, I'll be real. A lot of Vontaze, his attitude, his persona, his swagger, you know, that's who he is. And if that is taken away from Vontaze Burfict, we won't see the Vontaze Burfict of the old. We won't see that Cincinnati Bengals defense have that swag to them to where they're going to come out there and it's either you or me. And so I want him to continue to play with the reckless abandon that he's always played with, but I just want him to be a little smarter.
Takeo,
at the end of the day, you got to have a little political about you. You know, you got to talk to him.
Takeo, we always love talking to you.
Thanks, man.
We love your book, Behind the Mask. Check it out. It's a great portrait of linebackers who have played in a long time in the league. Thanks again, Takeo. We'll talk to you soon.
BehindTheMaskBook.com, baby.
There you go.
Pick up a copy.
15-year NFL linebacker.
Affect your soul.
Takeo Spikes.
I'm going to affect your soul during this break.
Please don't. Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.